Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you oh so much for this beautiful day you blessed us with, and now the awesome opportunity to get back into your word. Help us now as we continue our studies. So we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible studies from A to Z in the word grace, we'll turn to Acts chapter 11. And here we see how, with some reference to the apostles dealing with the question and expressing that grace has come upon the Gentiles also, not just to the Jews. As we get into it here in Acts chapter 11, in verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. The Lord had told them all the way through his ministry that salvation was coming to all men and that they would be sent to everyone and everywhere to spread the gospel to every creature. So now that this is being fulfilled, they are pleased about it. Most of them were pleased about it, but some of the Jews were a bit concerned and still contrary to the thought of the grace being available to everyone. As we see in chapter 15, picking up verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. See, they were wanting to stick with the traditions of the Old Testament and the statutes of the Old Testament that no longer applied because the Lord fulfilled the Old Testament. Not understanding that in the Lord fulfilling the statutes such as circumcision, that they no longer applied under the new covenant. Because it was no longer under such obedient works that they found righteousness, because we find our righteousness by being cleansed in the finished work of Jesus Christ, his shed blood. But as it continues, we see how this unfolds with this controversy over whether they should continue the old covenant in combination with the new covenant. Verse 2. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small decision and disputation with them, and they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. They still wanted to try to put the old with the new. The Lord taught us directly that you're not supposed to do that. But yet they ignored that. And it's interesting that it's still going on today. There's groups that are still saying today that you should abide by all the Old Covenant, the 613 plus or minus statutes and ordinances, the Old Testament, as well as tying in the New Testament. But that's contrary to the teachings of the Lord. As it continues, verse 6. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? This yoke is the fulfillment of those 613 plus or minus statutes, ordinances of the Old Testament. Verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Bring it out, point it out, illustrating that the Lord has definitely saved those folks that had not yet been circumcised, therefore making circumcision null and void, nothing to do with salvation or obedience to the Lord any further. Originally, as part of what it was set up, is to show obedience, no longer necessary, was saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. All right, now if we'll turn over to Romans. In Romans chapter 1 here, we see some more illustration of grace. In Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Paul, letter to the Romans here from Paul, he's pointing out here the things that the Lord has done and what has come to be was all prophesied and fulfilled concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye all the called of Jesus Christ. Now see, this is going to the Romans, the Gentiles. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That peace, knowing that we are saved by his grace, isn't it? We work our way to salvation. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And it was being illustrated because they were bearing the fruits of being born again Christians, being blessed by the Lord, being given the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost and the fruits and the gifts that come along with that, by grace. Not because they worked and earned it, but by grace. All right, now turn on over to Romans in chapter 3. And picking it up here in verse 20. Here he's teaching further about the power and the ability of the grace to justify us. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. going back to that same issue we were speaking of there, how they were trying to be justified by fulfillment of the circumcision and the other ordinances of the Old Testament. But as he points out here, you're not justified by the works of the flesh. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Going back, we can look at the law. We can see the guidelines of knowing what he wants us to stay away from, what he wants us to do. Now, knowledge of sin, part of the law is what he's talking about here. Not the ordinances of obedience such as circumcision. Big difference. Read 20 again. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Pointing out, emphasizing, it is by the finished work of Jesus Christ that we are justified through his finished work, and it is by grace. Verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. He justifies us because of his finished work, not because of our work and because of our obedience in our work. Nope, didn't work that way. It's based on the finished work of Jesus Christ, not based upon our works. All right, now turn on over to Romans chapter 5. And here he's teaching us a little bit of the history and how grace has abounded through the finished work of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Pointing out here that grace becomes available once you become part of the family, and you become part of the family through the faith in Jesus Christ, his finished work, and all this grace as this doorway is opened up and it all pours upon us. But you know, there's a lot more grace even than that the Lord is applying and imputing upon people all over the world that he has allowed, he has patiently allowed, and still awaiting them to come to him before it may be everlasting too late, tolerating their abusive behavior, tolerating their denying him, because he still loves them. He's still wanting them to come to him before the door closes. And that is all by grace. But when that faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ comes to play, then the floodgates open up and the grace just pours in that much more. Verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Now, getting into a relationship with the Lord is going to result in things happening in our lives. And this is what he's talking about here. The tribulations are going to come upon us. And these tribulations strengthen us, build us stronger and stronger, and able to handle more. As he continues, verse 4, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. That experience and that hope is that confidence in your salvation, that confidence in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that confidence in his promises and prophecies. Verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And that is truly by grace. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgressions, who is the figure of him that was to come. Not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one Jesus Christ. So what he's telling us here is because we are descendants of Adam, we all come into this world sinners. We all come into this world spiritually dead by the sin of that one man. All of his descendants afterwards come into the world sinners. But because of the love of God and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, by the sacrifice and the love of one, Jesus Christ, his blood, now we have availability of everlasting life, salvation, forgiveness of sin, reconciliation by grace. By one, we all came into the world sinners. By one, we can become born again and become part of the family and be forgiven, be atoned and justified. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. The free gift came upon all men. But it's a gift that you must reach out and receive. Because if the gifts are purchased and piled in a pile and nobody comes and picks them up and utilizes them, they're of no effect or no benefit. You must receive that gift. It's like if you receive a gift for your birthday or for Christmas or any other reason, you must take that gift and unwrap it and apply it before it becomes a benefit to you. Same thing with salvation. It's there. It's being handed out. You got to reach out and receive it. Take it in. Unwrap it. Put it to work. And it benefits you. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ, our Lord. that grace available by Jesus Christ, because of Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. And it is available to everyone. Will everyone take full advantage of it? No, but they have the opportunity to. They just would. All right, now turn on over to Romans chapter 6. As we see, chapter 6 connects right up with 5 in what he's explaining here about grace, and how in verse 21 there of chapter 5, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Then chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So here he's talking about how you might have the attitude that, well, since we're forgiven by grace, and you want more and more grace, then should you do something wrong so you see the evidence of more grace? No, that's ridiculous, as he's pointing out. In verse 1 again, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We have separated from that. We are dead to it. That means separated from it. You don't go back into that. Verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, and like as Christ has raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That death of the old man's dead, new man's alive, separated from the old, mortify, as it says, your flesh, and separate yourself from the fleshly desires of sin. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Now, this death is not talking about physical death. This is talking about the separation of the old, the sinful man, the sinful desires, the connection, the slavery that you were in, the servitude to Satan. That's ended. That is separated. That is dead. In that sense, we are dead. When we become born again, the old man is dead. Verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And that is so awesome. And there's a clear change in someone who is truly born again. There is a clear separation from the sinful desires. Verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of man, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and so iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. We need to come willfully, eagerly, wanting to serve the Lord, wanting to be alive, killing off the past, killing off the sinful desires. Verse 20, for when we were the servants of sin, ye were freed from righteousness, disconnected from righteousness, in other words. What fruit had ye then in those things wherein ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is truly awesome, that we have that gift from the Lord. There again, you got to reach out, receive that gift, take it in, apply that gift. That's how that gift works. When we truly apply it, when we truly utilize it, and even when we can turn around and share that gift with others, it isn't that we give it up from ourselves. That's the awesome thing about salvation and the things the Lord blesses us with. When we share the things the Lord blesses us with, we don't lose them. We still have them, able to multiply them by sharing them with someone else. It multiplies, and He pours more and more upon us. The more we share what He gives us, the more He piles upon us again to be able to share that as well. So in that, we have a lot of opportunities to share the grace of the Lord, the unmerited favor, being able to give to those that don't even deserve it. As He told us to go out there and to that great commission, to go out and preach, teach the gospel to all mankind, to everyone, every creature, not just to the ones that we think we want to talk to or that we think deserve it, but to everyone. Because He told us there in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. To all nations, Gentiles, Jewish, or whatever, doesn't matter, all mankind, everyone, spread the gospel, share the love, shine the light of Jesus Christ, and definitely share that grace. Because He sure piles it upon us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the grace You pour upon us each and every day. And the opportunity that we have to turn around and share that grace with others as well. Thank You so much for allowing us to be a part of Your work. And it's so evident when we look around the world and see the things that are going on. And You have not yet wiped out this world completely with the judgments, that You are still pouring grace upon this world. You definitely are a patient and loving God. We thank You so much for that as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.